Did y'all notice that the meeting's about servants? It's a strange, really strange thing that our churches have to be taught that, but that's really where the whole thing lies, is being a servant. Somehow we got this idea that life is a ladder, and you climb the ladder, and it's completely backwards. Jesus Christ stepped down the steps to wash their feet. And lo and behold, what is amazing to me is when he washes your feet, he says, hey, step down to this one. And when he does, he steps down to another one. And he never quits stepping down. He just keeps on going down. And I've never found any more time. Not in my life. I've been saved now going on 40 years. I've not found one time in 40 years that he wasn't down there when I got there. He's never been up there. He's up there now. I mean, he's up there now. But when it comes down to it, and he makes that place down there a sweet place. That's a sweet place. I was watching Brother Yoakum. He's a friend of mine, too. He's a good brother. But as he was talking about what he's doing, I got a couple friends. Mike Honstein was one. And in Norfolk, Virginia, when I was out there, I got out of school and I went to the satellite station. I wasn't in church yet. And there's a little white church right across the street from where I was, base out there. We was out in the middle of a swamp. And I'd leave that base, and I'd see a little white church out there. And I don't know whether it's a Baptist church. It could have been a charismatic. It could have been a Church of God. I have no idea. It could have been a Mormon church, for all I know. I just went over there, and here's this preacher. I think it was a Baptist church. But this preacher was there preaching. He's an old man. And I'd go back every now and then, and I was learning a little bit here and there. And I went back one time, and he wasn't there. And I asked him, I said, hey, where's the old preacher at? And there's a house, a parsonage right next to him. And he said, he's over there. I said, well, what's wrong with him? And he goes, well, he had emphysema and he was dying. And he said, but he still has a Bible study on Tuesday nights over in his bed. And I went over there. That guy broke my heart. He's wearing oxygen in his nose and he's laying in bed, tears running down his face. And he's still trying to get the Word of God out. He doesn't want to quit till he dies. I'm thinking Dr. Ruckman over there, same thing. I mean, he just didn't quit till he died. And you sit there and pick up your Bible. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Kings chapter 5. Father, do thank you for your blessings today. Lord, you've already ministered, really. Lord, I really don't have a whole lot to add to what was said. Lord, that's just a blessing. And Lord, if we just get that attitude and get our lives out of the way and put you in front, and Lord, just do that on a daily basis, Lord, how much sweeter life would be. Lord, there's people out here that need that. Lord, they need us to be the servants, Lord. We need to assume where we need to be, Lord. And it's a privilege. It is a privilege and an honor just to be a servant for you. Lord, teach us to wait. Be patient. Be still. Know that you're God. Teach us to wait on you. And Lord, that wait is always sweet. Sometimes it's tiresome, Lord, but it's always sweet at the end. Lord, thank you again for your mercies and kindnesses today. Thank you for the meeting this week so far. And Lord, we'll praise you and honor you in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. In 2 Kings chapter 5, it's a story of Naaman. Y'all know the story of Naaman. Everybody knows the story of Naaman. I'm going to read just a couple of verses here real quick. Preach for a few minutes. And brother, I tell you what, my church, I preached this message last couple of weeks ago at my church. And it's different, a little bit different than what I preached there. But I was going to preach something totally different, and I come across this, and which was an amazing thing to me. A little thing stuck out like it had never done before. Verse 1, it says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. But he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. I was reading through that passage, and that little maid popped out, and I thought about her for a few minutes, and I've read about her before. This thing begins with a man. He's a mighty man. He's a great man, and he's a leader in the army of Syria. If you've ever been around military or police, I've been around some Navy SEALs before, and those guys never tell you they're a Navy SEAL. They just tell you, I'm going to kill you by looking at you right there in the eyes. And you know that if they ever get started, you're going to lose. You might as well And I'm sure the Rangers were that way and all the rest of them. I was just only really, I knew about the Navy SEALs. I watched them guys come up to a ship one time, and he just stood there and said, "Hey, we're going to take your ship over on this day, hour, and minute. And it's just a drill. It's just a drill. We got to do it." And our captain said, "No, you're not going to do that." And he goes, "Oh, yeah, we have to do it. We had to choose a ship down here in Norfolk, and there's like 200 ships here, and yours is the one we chose today. And on this day, hour, and minute, we're going to come on. We're going to kill everybody on the ship, and this is how we're going to play the game. If you can kill us, you win. If we kill you, we win, and we'll throw something in the room, and boom, that's it." And that day they did. They came. I mean, we had Marines all over that ship with the vest didn't do a thing for them. They had all the vest on, the guns, everything. They were not going to let those Navy SEALs come on board, and those guys came on board and killed everybody on the ship. And they did it in the time frame they said they were going to do it, and they left the ship, and not one Navy SEAL was hurt. And I'm sitting there going, "Lord," I said, "these men are experts, and you know what they all learned to do is they're servants. They knew exactly what they were doing, and when they got into their game, they knew who they was with. It was a team effort. I want to let y'all know that our little church up to date would be there, probably, if it wasn't for Dr. Peacock. I mean, he has helped us. He's helped me. I can't even tell you how much he's helped me. It takes, sometimes you have to learn that you need to fall into suit someplace. I wish I could just be a servant. Boy, I wish I could be a member of this church, personally. I would if I could figure a way to get my church like down here, and everybody move here. I'd move here in a heartbeat, and I'd sit back there on a pew somewhere. I like somebody telling me what to do. You do this, just do that. I'll go do it. I'll do it until you come tell me to do something else. That's just the way I am. I can't. I don't know how to get out of it. I don't know if I want to get out of it. I just want to polish a doorknob in heaven. I said, "Lord, let me have a door, any doorknob. You got plenty of them up there. It's a mansion." It says over there, he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." I'm supposed to be calm. I'm trying to be. He goes, "If there's all those doors there, there's got to be a doorknob. I can just polish that doorknob. That's all I want to do." Really, I started this thing when I got saved, and I seen that man. It's like God started putting me around people that was just servants. That's all they were. This little maid, I sit there and look at this little maid, and I thought about it. Here's Naaman. I mean, the guy is the captain of the host. He's not a little man. He is out there. He is like the admiral of admirals to me. It'd be like George Washington. That's what this guy would be like. It'd be like Dwight Eisenhower on our side. It'd be like General George Patton. He's out there, but he's a leper. And he's sitting there, and he's got everything going for him, but he's a leper. You know the story, I've heard this thing preached 100 times before, and I'm not preaching any different than anybody else probably has, but it got to a couple different things, and that's where it always was. And as I was going through it this time, I said, "But it's not that anymore, Lord. It's not. Here's the king of Syria. Love this man. I mean, that's his captain of the host." Now, you can say, "Well, he's the king of Assyria." Yeah, well, he's the enemy of Israel probably, but to that king, that man was everything to him. I mean, that's my guy right there. That's my man, and he's a leper, man. He's a leper, and I don't know what to do for him. I can't do nothing. Have you ever been in a place where you had something and you didn't know what to do? And it's just not within your power to do it. I know somebody whose power is in with him to do it. He could do just about anything. He was a leper. The king of Syria loved him, but he's a leper. He had the affection and devotion of the people of the land, but he was a leper. Everybody loved him. Here come Naaman. I mean, he was like David probably when David came into the kingdom. Here's Naaman, and they loved him. The story's not about Naaman, by the way. It's really not about Naaman. It's just all around Naaman. He was a glorious commander-in-chief. I mean, the guy won battle after battle after battle. I'd serve with a guy like that. Man, I love being on a ship. I love being around captains, man, who just fired missiles and blew stuff up. I like that, man. All I had to do was make sure all the buttons were green. And if it wasn't green at the time they went to push something, I just had to go in there and make them green. I'm okay with that. I don't have to fire the missile. I just want to see something go boom. I like that, man. I like following behind an aircraft carrier. I love that. I love that. I like to watch them pilots come in and just touch and go and touch and go. I mean, you know what? I like it when you're sitting there looking over and you think. Somebody mentioned that the other day. You always think it's coming from that way. And then here comes two F-14s right by you, just about blow your hair off, and your ears can't hear for an hour and a half, and you're like, where in the world did those guys come from? And they just out of the sky, and they played with you like that. I like that kind of stuff. I like men like that. They're easy to follow because you know the direction. They're giving you a clear, concise direction. This is where I want you to go. I want you to go this way. That's why I like my Bible. It's simple. It tells you to do this. Do this. And then you just keep doing this, and I'll tell you when I need your help. Amen. You know, he really doesn't need our help. He needs you to do what he said. Do. That's a good servant. Yes. You know, the Captain Marshall, he never needed a good ET. He needed somebody who would do what he wanted done. You know what I figured out? I'll tell you what I figured out. I figured out I'd just figure him out before he figured me out. And I'd do more than what he had ever asked me for. I'd make him mad at me. He used to get so mad at me. I'm telling you what, he'd cuss me out in Jesus' name. He'd slam doors on me. That's another stinking ET space, slam! And then he'd meet me later and say, he says, why do you do that on the ship? I said, because you know why I did it? I'm selfish. I like sitting up on the 04 level. I'd made the Navy ship the best cruise liner I could possibly make it. I had a freezer in my ET shop, and I had my coffee, Mr. Coffee Maker up there. I made my Mamba Station iced tea, and I could sit out on the deck with glass jars that I got from the mess deck, and I could drink my iced tea while we're out there cruising. I was on a cruise before they even had cruise liners. I mean, Captain left me alone. Why? Because everything that man ever wanted, he had. If it had to do with me, you know what? I didn't care. I did not go to make chief. I could have stayed at E6. I could have stayed at E1. As a matter of fact, I probably would have been better off to be at E1. I just wanted to do whatever he needed me to do. And when he couldn't give me enough to do, I started figuring out what that guy wanted. And then that really made, I'll tell you what, you know, you never want to make a Fulbert 06 mad at you when he can't get mad at you. Because he doesn't know what to do at that point. It's funny. It's hilarious. He's a glorious commander. I mean, the guy was, he was a warrior. He went out there, and you knew you could follow him, and his men were probably tickle pink, but he was a leper. He was an honor man, and the deliverers, and he had delivered Syria out of the hand of his enemies, but he was a leper. He was a mighty man of valor. He had character. Something lacking in a lot of us today's character. We're missing it. This man had it, but he was a leper. And he was Israel's enemy. In verse 2 there, it said, and the Syrians had gone out in companies and had brought away a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And however this little girl got there, I don't know, but I was in a Master Chief 1 year's office one day, and I've never been in war. We were the first ship across the line of death. I've been in combat zones, but I've never seen real combat. From in the Navy, we shot stuff from far, far away, and we blew stuff up far, far away, and so we never seen the actual carnage that war caused. But I walked into Master Chief office, 1 year's office one day, and around his room, he had pictures of people just laying there with their heads blown, Vietnam, laying in the mud like this, and the back of their head completely gone, and brains gone out, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but that's just what it was, and that's where this man lived. That's the closest I've ever got to that kind of thing. And I think about this little girl, and she, they went into the land, and whatever they did to get her, and if you read some of the stuff David did and some of the other back there, I mean, people just carnage all over the place. And this little girl seeing that, coming out of that and being taken away from her home and coming over there and being thrown in the land of Syria. And in the land of Syria that she sold, or however she got into Naaman's house to his wife, to serve his wife. This little girl never shows in the Bible that she was bitter. Brethren, you know, sometimes to be the servant that we need to be, God's going to put stuff on us. He just has to. We can't learn it any other way. We could probably learn it a different way, but we don't learn it a different way. For some reason, I don't learn it a different way. He has to put the pressure down, and the tighter he ties the screws in, the better I seem to react when it's screwed down even tighter and tighter. Because I go back to my basic training or what I know, and I'm like, Lord, this, and then I start focusing in on that. I had a CO tell me one time, he said, Mike, I've been pushing down on you for 4 months, and the more I push on you, the better you got. I wasn't trying to be better. I was just trying to do what I could do to survive. This little girl, I figured, she's there, and she's just trying to be surviving. But she is the maid to Naaman's wife. She's not angry at her captor. She's not angry at all. I mean, you don't see nowhere in that passage where this little girl's mad. She's actually happy. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in places we probably don't think we should be. You ought to be glad about it. I never mind being on. I tell you, the first time I went on a shop, I know you probably didn't know, but I was in the Navy. But I remember going in the Navy. I thought I was going to die the night I got into the Navy. And they put me in boot camp, and I was laying on my top rack, and I had the ceilings like right here. And I'm like, oh God, what did I do? What did I do? But it just got better and better. And what I realized is there's people out there that's going to guide and direct me and tell me what to do. And if I'll just listen to them and I'll just do what they tell me. I know a senior chief said, Mike, your wife, he said, sailors belong on ships and ships belong at sea, and your wife did not come in your sea bag. I said, okay, I'm not married. What does that mean to me? He said, just remember it. One day you'll need that. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, it's about the Navy. It's about the Navy. You know what? I got out of the Navy, went to work for a company, and I had a boss. He looked at me, and he said, Mike, he goes, you're a communications tech out here, and you know all this, but you know nothing about routers and switches. I said, give me 1 year. I said, I'll learn everything you have. That man said, okay, I'm going to take a chance on you. I gave him 1 year. 1 year from then, I became an integral part of LexisNexis. You say, how'd you do that? Because I knew that Phil Nessel gave me an opportunity. I was going to do everything for that man I could do. He actually gave me some raises. I said, take the money back, man. I don't want no money. Can you take some away? Because I realized the more they give you, the bigger target you become. I don't want no more. I'm happy with what I got. You know, why? It fed my wife. It fed my kids. It made my house, everything work fine. I don't need nothing else. I said, this is more than I need. And people say, well, I need more. I don't need no more. I got plenty enough. You know what this little girl did? She was willing to help any way she could. In a world that she didn't belong, in an area she didn't need to be, she was taken and forced to be in this area, but she was a maid to Naaman, wife. Naaman, you want a good principle, New Testament principle showed in the Old Testament? Philippians 4:11 says this, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith be content. You know how we can do what we need to do for God? Be content. My God's a great God. He knows, right? He knows I'm standing here right now. I could be wrong. I think he knew this before the foundation of the world. I just think he knows everything. If he knows the end from the beginning, surely he knew I was going to be here today. I don't have to worry about doing anything. I just have to worry about being where he wants me to be when he's supposed to be there so I can do what he wants me to do when I'm there. And I have no idea what that is. It is the craziest thing in the wide world. If you get to the place where you just say, okay, God, do it. You just wait. And believe me, it'll hit you like a brick eventually. It'll hit you. If he tells you to wait, you just wait. Believe me, if he wants you to move 2 inches, he will tell you to move 2 inches. If he wants you to go 100 miles, I was in Croatia. I thought, surely I was going to be Navy. I have to be a missionary. Praise God. My wife thought we was going to go to Africa and die over there somewhere. Why do we all think we're going to go to Africa and die? I have no idea. I don't got a lot of guys from Africa. They're not dead. But that's where she thought. So she said, let's go back to Dayton, Ohio, and just sit there for a little bit, and we'll be okay. We've been there ever since. Got a church started, having a good time. I mean, there's issues in there, everything going on, but I'm loving it. I'm thinking, God, every day I think he's going to send somebody else in to take this, and I get to get out of here. I get to be a missionary on the field out there somewhere. He's going to let me one day be a missionary. I think far, far away will be a good place. First Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, we could ever get to the place where we're just content with what God has put on my plate or your plate. If we could just get right there. Look at this brother right here. He's in a wheelchair. Mike Honstein was in a wheelchair. I used to hate Mike Honstein. Man, he'd grab your hand and he'd hold on to it and he'd make you say something spiritual. I'm like, oh, let go. This guy had a grip like you wouldn't believe. I met my wife in his house. If it wasn't for Mike Honstein, I'd have probably never met Beth. Or she'd have never met me. He told her, he said, you better marry that guy. They don't make him like him anymore. She differs, probably begs to differ with him today, but here's this little girl. She looks at her, verse 3, and it says, and she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. You know, great things grow out of small things. They saw me at an acorn the other night. An oak tree grows out of a little teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy acorn. And sometimes we're just a little bitty, teeny-weeny, itsy-bitsy thing. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm okay with being the itsy-bitsy. Yes, Dr. Peacock, he gets upset with me sometimes because I just soon sit in the corner somewhere back here and shut up. He calls me, and I don't mean not to call back, but I know he's like an admiral to me. I'm not a dummy. I know the guy. An admiral says, hey, and he expects you to jump from like down in the boat bilges all the way up to the bridge like right there. He don't want to wait no 2 minutes. It's like, right, how come you weren't here? Well, sir, I was on vacation in Hawaii and you're in like Norfolk. No, don't matter. I want you here now. I just soon be the little teeny weeny acorn. You know, have you ever been to Redwood National Forest out in California? Oh, the Lord's let me do something. I went out to school out there, and you get on the Golden Gate Bridge and go north, and there's a Redwood National Forest stand up there. These trees are huge. They said the tallest one's like 387 feet tall. Can you imagine a tree 380 come from little seed? That seed hadn't hit the ground. This little girl is like that little seed. For sake of time, man, I need to do something here.
I need to figure out how to quit. Okay, I have 13 minutes. I got to finish this in 13 minutes.
Help me, Lord, help me.
Here's this little girl. I'm telling you, it's all about being a servant and enjoying it. If we can get to the place where we just enjoy God, I mean, just enjoy what He does. I've enjoyed this week. I've had some issues, man. I went to Dr. Peacock and said, hey, bro, I've got some issues. So I told him like a little piece of it. And then he goes, okay. And then there was some other stuff that was going on. And I went back and told him up there too. And he goes, I thought there was something else. I said, yeah, bro, it's just, I am messed up. But you know what I needed? I just needed to get back to where it was church. The church, I would never have done that outside. Out there, I'd have just been mad and upset. In here, I'm like, okay, Lord, I know it's me. It's always me. Between me and you, there ain't nobody left but you, and you're never wrong, so it has to be me. I mean, process of elimination. What do you do with that? Help! That's all you can do. This little girl, man, she said, boy, if he could just get to Israel, my hometown. You don't have to take me, by the way. Just go. There's a prophet there, and you don't know where he's at, but he's there. And if God wants, you will find him. Don't you worry about that. So he gets up, and he goes to the king of Syria, and this little girl, you know why this is a heart thing? This little girl's heart was soft toward her master's wife. And when this little girl said, a little girl, Don't ever think, young ladies, don't think y'all aren't worth anything. Don't ever think what y'all say doesn't mean anything. Young guys, don't think it doesn't mean anything. Yeah. This little girl, I don't know how long this young lady was, how old she was. She told her master, she said, look, I love Naaman too. I could just see her, the little girl doing it. She said, if he could just get to Israel, there's a prophet. I heard him there. That little girl never forgot God. Never. That he was her God, the God of Israel, was in her mind. And she knew, I know in Syria you can't get no help. But you get over there in Israel, there's a prophet over there. So Naaman gets a hold of this thing and he listens to the little girl. What kind of testimony could a little girl have or a young lady have that was strong enough that the commander of the armies of Syria would listen to her? And take a chance to go all the way to Israel, far, far, far away, to find somebody that you don't know where they're at, to cure you of something that can't be cured.
Amen.
And he says, I'm going. So he goes and tells the king. He said, king, man, I hurt. You know, have you ever been a leper? I haven't either. So since I haven't and you haven't, we can't really figure that thing out. But I don't know how long he was a leper. It doesn't say nowhere near in there how long he was a leper. He was just a leper. I wouldn't want to be a leper. I don't know about you. I don't want nothing to do with leprosy. And once you become a leper for a little while, brother, I'm trying to stay calm. I really am. Once you after a while, you're like, I'll do anything to get rid of this. It's like an itch. You ever got an itch on your back right there? You can't reach it? That's what wives are for. Man, they're great. Beth, help, help. Up, over, over, down.
anyways, I'll stop. I'm digressing somewhere else. The king of Syria said, hey, it'll take lots of money with you. I know them guys already want lots of money. They're preachers. They're probably Baptist preachers. They just want lots of money. Take lots of money with you and go over there. Here's a letter. Go to the king. Authority. You know, this has been preaching authority all week. Our captain of our ship would never send me over to another ship without talking to the commanding officer on that ship over there before I ever walked on the ship. The king of Syria said, here, Naaman, I know you're my captain, and I know you can take them guys out over there, but that's not what you're going for. Take this letter to the king of Israel, and he should give you the information you need. You know, it's a sad thing. It's about six people in this. There's Elijah, Gehazi, there's the little maid, there's Naaman, there's the king of Syria, there's the king of Israel, there's Naaman's servant, all of them in this thing. And when I started looking at this, I was like, nobody had any help for Naaman. And Naaman was looking for help. You know how many people out here are looking for help? Amen. Brother, they are looking. They just don't know where to look. You know what they need? They need like a little maid to start the process of the seed getting to the ground. And they need somebody to start this thing. So it's all of us, brother. It's not one of us. It's all of us.
Amen.
No man is an island. I did not do anything. Anything I've ever been able to do, somebody let me do it.
Yeah.
I was never... Any of the medals I got was given to me because somebody gave me the opportunity to do something after they trained me to do what they told me to do. And I did what they told me to do. Then they give me a medal saying, you did a good job. I'm like, how does that work? I just did what you told me to do. You know what people are looking for? It's people to do what, you know what a church needs? It's people that will just do, number one, what they're told to do, but why even ask? I mean, we all know what needs to be done. You can't pay everybody. I heard somebody say that they had to pay the people to clean the church. I ain't going to pay nobody to clean the church. I'll get my wife to do it. Why would I do that? Now let me qualify that. I don't ask anybody to change the light bulbs. I do. I don't do many toilets. I got Mike Saul. He does them. But I would. My dad was a master plumber. But there was a king of Israel. You know, when he took that letter over, Naaman is looking for hope and he's looking for something and he's running over there and he's looking at his phone to see how much time he's got left and he's going, hey, man, he's going to the king and he said, king, my king, get this letter, here it is. And the king reaches, oh, man, he set me up. You would think that king would say, I know where Elijah's at and that's the one you want to go see. You would think that, have you ever been able to direct somebody? You know, sometimes the best thing you have to do is just direct somebody to somebody else. And this king wouldn't do it. But Elijah heard about it. Down in verse 8 says, and so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, sometimes you got to get serious before the man of God hears that thing. He said that he sent unto the king saying, and then verse 9, here's the rest of this message, it'll be quick. He told Naaman, he said, send him to me. Title of this message, just I had to have a title on it. He never answered the door. Elijah never answered that door. Now, you know, a lot of us, we were just talking about pride a few minutes ago. A lot of us would get mad and furious if we thought we were something and you didn't answer the door. I'm here. I come all the way from Syria, man. I didn't just come down the street to borrow a cup of sugar. Here comes Gehazi. What do you want? Slam. He goes, hey, Elijah, there's a guy out here. He's kind of white. He's got some, he looks like a leper. And he goes, go out there and tell him something. Gehazi goes, tells him, says, okay, do this. Naaman. I want to talk about Naaman real quick. Naaman, the captain of the host, went and stood at the door. It says in verse 9, it says, and so Naaman came with his horses and with his chariots and stood at the door of the house of Elijah, and Elijah sent the messenger unto him, saying, go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. You know how close most of us are at finding the will of God for our lives? And we just don't listen. We just don't like what we heard. I don't think I ever like what I hear. But he's told me what to do in the last 9 or 10 months, 11 months. I've been going through a couple of fakes. It's been a strange year for me, but it's been a good one. It's been strange and good. You know, it's like a sweet and sour kind of a thing.
And I would call him up and he'd tell me what to do. And I'm like, and I'd do it. Because I know that what I'm going to do ain't going to work. So you listen. And here's Elijah. He didn't even answer the door. He said, just go tell him to dip in the river Jordan 7 times. Shut up. Leave me alone. Go away. And Naaman gets mad. He became offended when he didn't get recognized. Don't you know who I am? I'm Naaman. I'm the captain of the... Yeah, but you're a leper. Get out of here. He goes... He was upset, and I wrote this down. He was upset. You know why? Because he wanted Elijah to clap his hands, and I get recovered right there. He wanted a magic act. Why do we need a magic act from God? Why can't we just enjoy the things of God? You know, I breathe, and my finger's working, and I look at Brother Yoakum, and he's in a wheelchair. He's got a smile on his face. Amen. Why am I?
Yeah.
I remember a while back, I don't think I ever told you, but my leg quit working. This leg just quit working. I woke up one morning, and it didn't work. I could do this. My family all laughed at me. My leg did not work. I got to the staircase and I kind of got down to the bottom of the staircase. And when I was at the bottom, I was like this. At the bottom of the staircase. I could not move. I could do this. But this thing ain't going to do nothing. So I finally get a set of crutches and I get to the VA. And I go in there and they think I'm a druggie or something coming in. Because that's what, at some reason. Everybody who goes to VA, they think you're all druggies. So this nurse looks at me, and I'm, Beth, you're humbling, brother. She rolled me in a wheelchair. Now, there's nothing, I mean, I get rolled in. I've never been rolled in a wheelchair. I've been rolled out in one, never rolled in. She rolls me in, I'm in a wheelchair. I'm sitting there going, and this nurse looks at me like, yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay. So she looks at my record, and she goes, you're not on any drugs. I said, well, no. I said, is anybody? She goes, nothing? I said, well, every now and then I take some Motrin when my stuff hurts, but this won't help this. And she goes, well, just tell me what the problem is. I said, my leg don't work. And she goes, she looked at some stuff, did extra. She said, I'm going to fix you up, man. And she gave me 3 medicines, and to this day, I can't even remember what they were. They were good. They were legal, though. They were legal. My leg started working again. I was like, praise God, hallelujah. You know, for a moment there, the Lord let me taste something that other people have all the time. And he goes, Mike, he goes, why do you care about that stuff? Naaman, why do you care? The man told you what to do. Just go do it. He wanted to do it his way, not God's way. You know, we got to get to the place like Brother Oakham just said. We can't do it our way.
Amen.
Our way don't work. Ask Adam. It don't work.
Right.
And nobody from Adam's been able to figure that thing out and make it work. Our way don't work. The only way that works is God's.
Right.
And the only way to get His way is to get a hold of Him. That's the only way to do it. And he got upset and refused to change. Go down to verse, I'll be done here in just a second. I got to be done in a second because I only got 5 minutes. Naaman's servant, he got in verse 12 there, it says, and he goes, well, let's go back to 11. He says, but Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out and do this and this. He said, are not Albana and Farfar rivers of Damascus better than the waters in Israel? And he got mad and went away. Thank God for another servant. He pops up in verse 13. He says, and his servant came near and spake. You know, servants have a lot of power. They have a lot of pull. He said, and spake unto him, said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, would thou not have done it? How much rather than when he said to thee, wash and be clean? Romans 2:4 says, despisest thou the riches and the goodness and forbearance of long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Naaman was just getting ready to get led to something that he knew nothing about. And he was getting ready to trash it. But due to a couple servants, a little maid and his servant, got him back on track. Okay, I'll take all my pride back. And I'll go down. I mean, I could imagine the first time in, nothing. Well, he did say 7. The servant was probably saying, master, he said 7 times. That's only 1. Okay, down again. The whole army's watching him.
Yeah.
Everybody's watching him.
Oh, bro, that's good.
And he's sitting there and he's going, I don't know this God, and the God of my land can't help me anyway, so I really don't know him either. But you guys all think we know him, and he's not doing nothing for me,
And I'm doing this in front of you, and I'm humbling myself before the Almighty God that I don't know that He's there yet. Mercy. You're talking about grace. God could have ended Naaman's life before he ever got down. He said, I told you what to do. You know what Elijah and Elisha do to people that just disobeyed? It didn't work out good for them. But here's a guy. He says, I'm going home. I'm going to go home as a leper. Isn't that a stupid thing? That's ignorant. I have no help. I have nothing to look forward to in the future. I have nothing out there that's going to help me. And I'm going to run from the only thing that I've got the option to do. And his servant said, help. Servants are important. Don't ever think you're not. Don't ever think I'm not. God's mercy. I read this passage as I was going through here. I was looking at another sermon and this all kind of popped in my head. Lamentations 3:21 says this. Then I recalled to my mind. Jeremiah's just thinking. He goes, then I recalled to my mind. Therefore have I hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Ooh, yeah. I like them songs, man. I like them. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. He never stops. He never stops. He goes, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait on Him, wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. You know what Naaman didn't know at this point? Who he was actually seeking. Naaman was looking for something. God knew what Naaman was looking for. And God run a little maid, let her get taken captive. And a little maid got stuck in a house in Syria. And in that house in Syria, she was a servant to the master's wife. And she had to have the answer to the problem that was going to happen to Naaman. And she gave him the answer. And Naaman could come back. Thank God for a little servant that never forgot a God wherever she was. Because time and chance happens to every man. And that little girl was going to get an opportunity. She never knew that. And then one day she got it. The change. Verse 14. I'm almost done. Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Brethren, you know what? I bet you that just freaked him right out. It would have me. Now I'm going to finish this up real quick. The message, the main character of this story, is not the little maid, although she was an integral part of this story. The main character of this story was not the king of Assyria. He just loved his servant. You know what? You know what? Naaman was a good guy. He's a good servant. Second in command of the king of Syria, but the king knew that's Nehemiah. He's his cupbearer. Oh, he's just a cupbearer, just a cup. Yeah, but boy, when you come in there with a sad looking face on you, hoo-hoo, you're in trouble. Nehemiah, taste that before you give it to me. Okay, I'll drink that now. Nehemiah, what's wrong? Man, my country's sitting there, but no. King, this is all messed up. He said, what do you want? Well, I'd like to go back. Go. As a servant. No matter, Joseph was in the dungeon. In the dungeon. He was down there in the dungeon, man. And you couldn't get no lower on this planet than where he was at. Within minutes, he was up in the king's office talking to him. It wasn't about the king of Syria. It wasn't about the king of Israel. You would think that the king of Israel would have directed him, right? It wasn't. It wasn't about Elijah. It wasn't about Gehazi. You know, Gehazi was a bad servant. Gehazi just cared about himself. You know, Elijah got himself out of the way. Sometimes the best thing to do is get out of the way. You know why he didn't answer the door? I always question that. And the Lord gave me an answer. It could be right or wrong. It's good for me. This isn't about me. This is about you, Lord. This is not about me. It's about you. And I don't even need to go to the door. Because if I go to the door, I'm going to inject myself into this thing and I'm going to stay out so Gehazi go tell him. I don't need to be here. It's not about Naaman, but God. In verse 15, Naaman comes back after he dips himself and he returns to the man of God. He and all his company and came and stood before the throne, before him. And he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Have you ever led somebody to the Lord? I mean, really, really led somebody to the Lord? And watched them.
I mean, it's just like I stand back. Like, this is cool. This is cool, man. I mean, it's the funnest thing in the whole world. You watch them, they lay there, and they're all like this, and they're like, oh, I don't want to fall for it. I'm like, yes, you got it, man. That's it. It isn't this, oh, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I was Catholic, by the way. Father, forgive me for I sinned. Go out and say, Father, Hail Mary, and three, Our Fathers. You're okay. No, that's not it. He saved me greatly on a back porch in Louisville, Kentucky. You say, what is it? I don't know. I just got something I've never been able to get over yet. It's been 40 years and I still haven't got over it. And I just like telling somebody and then stepping back and watching what God does. I can't do anything. I can only tell. I want to be like the little maid. I want to be Barzillai. That's who I want to be. I want to help the king across and help him back over. And then he says, Mike, you want to? I said, no, I'm 61. I don't need anything else. I'm okay. Give it to one of these young guys. You know what you young guys need? You need God.
Yeah.
You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You're going to go through life, and you're going to have to face trials. You might be like a little maid one day. You find yourself someplace where you should be, nobody else around, and you're the only life they're going to have. You're it. Hey, you're in. What are you going to do right there? Tell them about your God. That's all you have to do. Tell them about Jesus. That's all you have to do. This is what Naaman got. I'm done. Proverbs 1:7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Naaman didn't have it till just right now. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. His eyeballs went poof. His mind just was flooded. It was what going on. And then he goes back and he tells Elijah, he says, you know how you know he got it? He goes, I got to go back and our God Rimmon, and I got to, my king wants me to take him in the temple because he leans on me. He said, please forgive me when I do that. I know that this is the God, but I got to do this because I got to obey my master. You know, sometimes we miss authority in our churches, and we miss authority. I'm willing to sit under anybody that God tells me, sit under that man, shut your mouth and listen. I know one thing, a captain on a ship, in a police force, I better shut up. Look at that, I'm done. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. The lily of the valley, in him alone I see. All I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. You know what Naaman found? He found somebody that could actually cleanse him, not just on the outside, but on the inside. You know what a lot of us need? Inside cleansing.
Yes, sir.
But I'm done. If I don't, I'll just keep going, but I got to shut up.
That was good, wasn't it?
Amen.
If I could just get him to give you the impression that he's all in. You know what I'm saying? He seems to kind of, it's like he's just kind of partway in. He's like Naaman. He's been down 6 times. If I could get him to go all the way for that 7th time. What I have always appreciated about Brother Mike is that part of him has never changed. All he wants to do is get further in. He'll tell me all the time, there's still too much of me sticking out. Tell me what I can do to get further in. He says, I want to disappear. That's heavy stuff. Boy, it's been a good morning, man. And now you get donuts. And caffeine. Nothing better for crack addicts and Baptists than sugar and caffeine. So it just helps you to, you know, minister to those, be all things to all men, that you might win some. So when you see a crack addict, you know, jonesing because he's looking for crack, you can say, I'm that way when I don't get my sugar and caffeine. Some of you could maybe slow down a little on the sugar, maybe a little more caffeine to speed your metabolism. Anyway, sorry. Let's stand together now up in the back in the fellowship hall. We're going to just take about an hour or so. We're not going to rush it. You go up there and spend some time together and some time visiting and talking and fellowshipping and those kind of things. and get whatever the ladies have prepared for you up there. There's plenty of stuff for you to eat, and we'll enjoy some time of fellowship, and then in an hour or so, we'll meet back in here. And the afternoon meeting, after the afternoon meeting, we're done. We don't have an evening meeting, so you can go do whatever it is you want to do. There is Walmart relatively close by.